the might of creation's grand design. In the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth, with the power of his promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. We'll stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our souls reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the prophets saw a day when the longed-for Messiah would appear, with the power to put the sin of sin and death, and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go, in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. By faith and not by sight. By faith the mountains shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. Stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, we will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
Good morning. Welcome to everyone who is here this morning and to those that are joining us online today. It is such a joy to be worshiping God together. If you are new to Glenwood, we would love to connect with you. You can stop by the Welcome Center in the foyer, or you can scan the QR code on one of the seats in front of you by using the camera on your phone. Right now is graduation season, and next Sunday we will honor our graduates at both services. Let us know if you or someone you know is graduating from high school, college, trade school, or graduate school. You can share this info with us online at glenwoodcc.org/grad, or you can once again scan that QR code and hit the grad info button. Looking ahead, each week we will highlight new ministry opportunities over the summer. These are all great ways to grow in your faith and in community, and are ways you can invest in others by serving. Today's focus is on the student ministries summer camps. High school summer camp is from July 12th through July 15th, and middle school summer camp is from July 19th to July 22nd. You can visit the welcome table to sign up or check out our website for more information. And now, let's all stand and join in lifting songs of praise to God our Father.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and
spurred on to carry God's truth in our hearts and to those around us. We're spurred on by His love, and because we see Him for who He is worth it. He is our treasure. Let us cherish Him as we sing Him praise.
This my inheritance will never spoil or fade until He comes, my salvation in heaven kept by faith. This my inheritance, God's power will be His shield through Jesus Christ, the only light by which it is revealed. All praise, all praise be to God, always, always, and forever. All praise, all praise be to God, always, always, and forever. This my inheritance, suffering and trial. More worth than gold, our only hope in faith, our song will rise. All praise, all praise be to God. Always, always and forever. All praise, all praise be to God. Always, always and forever. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. This my inheritance, no man can take away. Not even death, with my last breath, I'll see my Savior's face. All praise, all praise be to God. Always and forever. All praise, all praise be to God. Always and forever. All praise, all praise be to God. Always and forever. All praise, all praise be to God. Always, always and forever. This my inheritance will never spoil or fade. Until he comes, my salvation in heaven kept by faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We have so much to be glad and to rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his blessing and his goodness to us in so many different ways. We have a privilege this morning. In a few minutes, Rob Trinkman will be coming to preach. Rob is here. Liz, their kids, Caleb, Lillian, and Alec. For many years, Rob was our director of student ministries here at Glenwood Community Church. And then God called the family to Eastern Europe, where he was the country director for Hungary. And now God is calling, giving him really a great opportunity to minister and serve Christ in a new part for them of Europe. But Rob and Liz are going to be sharing after this service in the fellowship hall. And in a few moments, we're going to get to share in the Word of God with him. Also, we have much to be grateful for. Last Sunday after church, seven of our young adults went on an afternoon hike. They went up toward Mount Hood. Some of them are here. They know the story really well. I've only heard about it. Google took them to the wrong trailhead. They walked into a region where there had been a blowdown from the wind. As it began to get closer to dark, they made a series of wise decisions. They lit a fire. They hunkered down for the night. Search and rescue was out. We put it on the prayer chain. You guys prayed. Next day, they came out safe and sound. It's good to have you guys with us this morning. You want to... Is it true it snowed that night? It is. I heard several inches of snow. So we really are grateful for their safe return, though I'm sure it took some time this week to recovery from such a challenging event. You have now experienced something very few of us ever have. Let's thank God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for shepherding these young men and women so truly and so well, for giving them wisdom in the moment, for the decisions, for the endurance through the night and the cold and the wet. Thank you for their safe return, for providing for them. We ask you bring full restoration and healing, that you abundantly bless them. Thank you for comforting their families, for the promise and the hope that we have in your sovereign grace and your goodness to us. And Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of having Rob and Liz among us. And we ask that you would use Rob as he opens your word and speaks of who you are and how much you love and how we can love you in return. And Father, we pray for our congregation, that we would be a light, that we would be salt in our community and around the world, that you would continue to use us to bear fruit for your kingdom and your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Would you rise again with us as we sing in praising our friend who is with us, our treasure. Our hope in life and death, Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? Let our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand, who comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope's praise eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Truth can calm the troubled soul. God is good, God is good. Is His grace and goodness known in our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, when stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. To the grave, what will we sing? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. When we'll rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, Glenwood. It is such a privilege to be with you this morning. There's so many familiar faces as I look out at this crowd. Liz and I and the kids have been looking forward to this. It's great to hug you when we're allowed to hug you, shake your hands, fist bump, whatever we can do. But it's so good to see you. The old phrase really is true. There's no place like home. And Glenwood really is home for us. As Paul said, we spent the first 6 years of our ministry lives here from 2004 to 2010. And then at the beginning of 2012, you as a church sent us to Central and Eastern Europe to serve as leaders of the team for Josiah Venture in Hungary. And we've been there since. And we have been so blessed by your prayers, by your care, by your gifts, by your kind notes. And in those years, God has done some amazing things through our partnership. We got to see a whole youth group go from being a bunch of non-Christians to a bunch of believers because they chose to follow Jesus. We got to see a church planted in the city that we live, a city that has just a handful of Bible-teaching churches in a city of 250,000. And we got to see dozens of young people come to Christ and ministry partnerships formed across the country. And we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your care for us. We're so thankful for your partnership together. It's really good to be with you. And my hope for us this morning is that you walk away from this morning encouraged. This has been a strange year. There's lots going on. I think we could all use some encouragement. And I hope you're encouraged today. First of all, I hope you're encouraged by the text that we look at. We're in a wonderful text in 2 Timothy this morning. You can grab your Bibles and open to there. And I also hope that you're encouraged as I share stories about what God's doing in Central and Eastern Europe and in Hungary, and also share with you about the mission field that God has called us to next. I hope that this morning is really encouraging to you. Let's jump right in. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 this morning. And although I hope that you are encouraged today, 2 Timothy is written at a time that is not encouraging for the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is sitting in jail. He writes this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. It's one of the last letters he writes. And Paul is awaiting death at the hands of Nero, the butcher of the Christians. After Acts 28, history tells us Paul was released from jail. He went on more mission trips. He was rearrested. And as Nero began to persecute the church across the empire, Paul is waiting his death. He's at the end of his life. But that's not the only problem. While Paul is sitting in jail awaiting death, the churches that he's been serving in are falling apart. Look at chapter 1. Verse 15, he says, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." All who are in Asia have turned away from Paul. Later in the book, we see that false teaching has started to infiltrate the churches. Can you imagine being in Paul's shoes? He's at the end of his life. He's awaiting death. And as he looks out, his life's work appears to be crumbling. Unlike us, Paul doesn't know the end of the story. He doesn't know that in the 300s, almost the whole empire turns to follow Jesus. He doesn't know that these letters that he's scribbling from prison are going to be included in the international best-selling book of all time. He doesn't know that. He just knows that he's awaiting certain death, and his life's work appears to be falling apart. He's opposed from without, and he's opposed from within. Needless to say, life is not great for Paul in this moment. And I wonder if for some of you, life's not great today. Maybe life's not great for health stuff. You're facing pain. You got that lab report. You're not sure about that doctor's appointment next week. And you're here today and you'd say, you know, really, life's not great. maybe life's not great for you this morning financially. There's too much month for the money. And you wake up every morning and you go to bed every night wondering, how am I going to pay that bill? How are we going to get to the end of the month? Are we ever going to get out of this cycle? Maybe life's not great this morning relationally. There's that child that walked away and you're not sure why. There's that division between you and a sibling. Maybe there's poison in the relationship between you and your parents. There's that friend that has been close and now your friendship's being ripped apart and you feel like you're being ripped apart with it. You say, relationally, life's not great. Maybe you would just give one simple reason. Life's not great because 2020. Whatever the case may be, it might be that life's not great for you this morning. And if life is great for you right now, I'm sure you've experienced times when it's not and probably will again. And when life's not great, there's certain temptations that start to creep into our lives, certain distractions, certain roads that we're tempted to take. And this morning, we're going to look at three temptations that come at you when life's not great, when opposition is pressing you from without and within, and three encouragements that the Apostle Paul gives us when life is like that. Here's the first one. The first temptation that Paul addresses in our passage this morning is the temptation to let go and drift away. The temptation to let go and drift away. Have you ever sat in a rowboat on a lake when the wind is blowing? If you sit in a rowboat on a lake when the wind is going and do nothing, you won't stay put. You'll find yourself drifting. You'll find yourself creeping away from where you want to be if there's no anchor, if there's no holding point. And this is what's going on in the world that Paul's writing to. Those in Asia have turned away from things. The false teaching is infiltrating the church. And the Apostle Paul is saying, don't let yourself drift away. Don't lose hold. Here's what he says, chapter 1, verse 13. He says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Retain. Other translations say hold on, which I think is a slightly better wording here. The idea is just don't let go. Hold on. Hold on to what, Paul? He says, hold on to the standard of sound words. That's kind of a strange phrase. Why the standard of sound words? Because we see elsewhere in the letter that the church in Ephesus has gotten to quarreling about words and genealogies. They're arguing about words. They're chasing myths. And Paul says to Timothy, ignore all of that and hold on to the standard of sound words. Well, Paul, what are those standard of sound words? He says, the teachings that you've heard from me. Aren't you really glad those teachings got written down and preserved for us by the Holy Spirit? That we have access to that same standard of sound words that Timothy did? That we can know the truths of the gospel and anchor our lives on it? Friends, my first question for you this morning is, are you feasting on the Word of God in these days? Are you actively holding on so that you don't accidentally drift from what you know is true? Are you soaking in it? We live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with other messages. Are you soaking in the Word of God? Are you living out what it says in Ephesians? Are you being washed with the water of the Word? Are you taking your daily truth shower and letting the lies of our world and culture get washed off of you? Do you know what the scriptures are loud about and what they're quiet about? And in your conversations with neighbors and coworkers and classmates, dare I say on social media, are you loud and quiet about the same things that the scriptures are loud and quiet about? When the pressures of opposition squeeze you and what's inside of you comes spurting out, are you so full of God's word, so full of sound words that it's God's word that comes squeezing out in the trials and oppositions. My family and I have spent the last number of years living in one of the spiritually darkest places on the planet. Central and Eastern Europe, as far as we know, it has about 1% of people that have a saving faith in Jesus. These countries that were ravaged by communism are now just spiritually bankrupt. In fact, in our neighboring country from Hungary and Slovenia, where Glenwood missionaries Johnny and Brooke Stevens work, there are less Christian per person in Slovenia than there are in Pakistan. In Hungary, where my family's been serving, and Keisha Kula, who's from Glenwood, and Eric and Lindsay Meland, who are from Glenwood, it's somewhere about 2 to 3%. This means that if you live in this region of the world, you're likely the only Christ follower in your neighborhood. You're probably the only Christ follower in your place of work. If you go to school, there's a good chance you're the only person at your school that's following Jesus. And when you live and work in a region of the world like this, you have to learn to hold on to the sound words of the gospel. Some of you have gotten to know my friend Sabi. Sabi started coming to youth group right at the beginning of high school. Like most people in this region of the world, Sabi doesn't have anyone in his family that follows Jesus. Started coming to youth group because he wanted to practice his English. We developed a friendship, and over time, we got to see Sabi give his life to Christ. I got to be there for his spiritual birthday. A few months after he came to Christ, we were walking through the square in our town. I said, Sabi, how's it going with Jesus? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer? How are you doing at sharing your faith? How's your walk with Jesus? He said, oh, man. Bible reading is tough for me. He said, I'm a video gamer, not a reader. And that book's long, and I try to read it at night, and I'm tired, and then there's YouTube videos, and it's just not happening. I thought, yeah, I know a lot of people for whom that's true. And so we talked about how when you love someone, you spend time with them. And the Word of God is one of the ways we spend time with God. And He captures our hearts and we fall in love with God. And if you love somebody, you prioritize spending time with them. You set aside that time because it's so important to you. And I challenge Sabi to become a man of the Word of God. 5 months later, he had read the whole thing from cover to cover as a 16-year-old. He's read it repeatedly since. Today, he's in his first year of theology school at an extension campus we have in Czech Republic, and he wants to be a missionary to his own country. He's now leading the youth group he came to Christ in. Praise the Lord. But that's what happens when you hold on to the standard of sound words. Friends, are you holding on today? Is the Word of God alive in you? There's a second temptation that comes our way when life is not great, when opposition starts to squeeze into us. It's the temptation to get defensive. Sometimes as Christians, we can start to become known more for what we're against than what we're for. The world around us starts to press in on us, and we're tempted to circle the wagons, to pull in the troops, to guard the fort. And of course, Paul did just say to guard, but then he says something else. Notice what he says in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "You therefore, my son," this is a very formal phrase in Greek, "you therefore, my son," it's like when you were a little kid and your parents said, "Robert William Trankman, you get in here." You know something's going on. Paul's saying, "Timothy, pay attention, this is important. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's a great phrase, we're going to come back to it. And then he says, "The things which you have heard from me," okay, we just saw that phrase. We saw that in verse 13. "Retain, hold on to the standard of sound words which you have heard from me." Now he says, chapter 2, verse 2, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul's saying, when life starts to press in on you and your temptation is to guard, your temptation is defend, your temptation is to put your head down and just keep everything close, Paul says, no, 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 no. You've got to pass it on. That sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Question for you this morning. Are you intentionally entrusting the truths of Christianity to someone else right now? Let me ask that again. Are you intentionally entrusting the truths of Christianity to someone else right now? Who are you investing in? If you're not, friends, we need you. We need you. I look out at this group, and there's a chance that there's a couple of you who are a couple of years older than I am. Friends, we need you. We need your walk with God. We need your maturity. We need your life of holding on to the sound words. And we need you to be intentionally entrusting that to someone else. Now, if you're sitting here saying, how would I do that? That's not my gifting. That's not my skill set. I'm not a preacher. Good. So we need preachers, but we really need people that are entrusting the truths of the scriptures to someone else. It can be really simple. Find someone who will listen to you. It could be a person at church, someone in your neighborhood. Maybe you can meet somebody for lunch once a week at work. Find someone who will listen. Find a common hobby and share the truths of Jesus while you have that hobby together. You like repairing cars, they like repairing cars. Great, repair a car together and talk about Jesus. If you want something a little more formal, read a book together. Grab a good Christian book. One I would highly recommend to you is Delighting in the Trinity by Mike Reeves. It's not nearly as complicated as it sounds. It's a simple, wonderful read about our good God. Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. Pick up a book. You read a chapter. They read a chapter. Meet at your favorite coffee shop once a week and just talk about what you're learning. Or the best thing I could suggest is find someone who will commit to read the Bible on their own while you read the Bible on your own. And then once a week, get together and share what God's teaching you. Feast on the Word together. That will transform both of your lives. But whatever it is, friends, we need you to pass it on. We need you to pass it on. It's not enough to play defense. We have to pass it on. One of the reasons I've been thinking about this passage lately is because people have passed on the truths of the gospel to me. Just the other day, I was talking with Eric Meland, who I've now handed country leadership of Hungary to. And we were talking about teaching God's word. And I found myself saying to him things that I had learned from Paul Jackson when I was on staff here. Things about authorial intent and wrestling to the bottom of a passage so that you make sure that the things that you're saying are what the word actually says, not just your thoughts disguised as the word of God. And I found myself passing on those things that were invested into me. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited about the new ministry opportunities that God has put in front of Liz and I. We see this as an opportunity for us to invest in others the things that God has taught us over these last years, both at Glenwood and now as almost a decade on the mission field. Liz has been invited to join the pastoral care team at Union School of Theology, a Bible college and seminary that serves bachelor's and master's and PhD students literally around the world. And they've asked Liz to come alongside students and provide counseling and mentoring and really pastoring for these future leaders to share with them the things that we've learned over these last two decades of ministry. And I've been invited to come and serve as head of operations for a brand new venture called Newton House, which is Newton House will serve as a theological training center for pastors, leaders, teachers, really from around the globe. And we're asking God to help us raise up the next generation of Christian thought leaders to be people that are rooted in sound words, that are rooted in the historical theological truths of the scriptures and are committed to serving the church, committed to being relationally connected, committed to delighting in Christ so that they can serve the church and bless the world. We'll do this through conferences, publications, gatherings, mentoring. We have a number of just fantastic senior leaders that have agreed to come and mentor young leaders. Leaders like Phil Ryken, the president of Wheaton College, and Mike Reeves, the president of Union School of Theology. There's some wonderful people involved. But we see this as an opportunity to live out 2 Timothy 2:2. Because in times like this, we desperately need leaders who are wise and winsome, who understand the times and know how to speak into it. And so we have to pass on those sound words of the gospel. Friends, are you investing in someone? Is there someone in your world right now that you're entrusting the words of truth to so that they can teach others also? Paul said, hold on, pass it on. I think there's one more temptation that we face when life starts to squeeze us. One more temptation that we face when life is not great. Maybe you're feeling it now. This has been a long year. Has it been a year? It's been a long year and a half, hasn't it? Maybe you're a little weary. Maybe you're a little tired. Maybe you're a little discouraged. Maybe you're tempted to just park the metaphorical car in the garage and let it sit there for a while. Somebody else can carry the work for a while. Somebody else can press the battle for a while. I just need a break. I'm discouraged. I'm weary. And Paul, in the midst of that, invites us to press on. Notice what he says in chapter 2, verse 3. He says, suffer hardship with me. That's the invitation you don't want to get in the mail. Suffer hardship with me. Paul, how are we supposed to do that? Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul, how? Well, the first thing that Paul keeps reminding us of over and over and over is he says, remember the source of your strength. Remember the source of your strength. When life is hard, if you're at least like me, my temptation is to dig in. It's to worry. It's to control. It's to try to power up and muscle up. You're tempted to try to clench your spiritual jaw and flex your spiritual muscles and say, if I try hard enough, I can do this. And Paul says, no. That's totally the wrong direction. Did you notice what he said in chapter 2, verse 1? You, therefore, my son, such a great phrase, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that even mean? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This word, it's actually another way it's translated is be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be strengthened by grace? Well, it's in Christ Jesus. It's because of the grace of Christ Jesus that we have access to all of who God is. We have access to his love. We have access to his power. We have access to his character. It's in the grace of Christ Jesus that we have access to God. And Paul says, be strong in that grace. It's not the only place he says it. Did you notice in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. He also set it up in chapter 1, verse 8, halfway through. Join with me in suffering. There's that same invitation we don't want to receive. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. How, Paul? According to the power of God. Friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are no longer natural. You are supernatural because the supernatural God lives inside you. And through the grace of Christ, he gives you access to who he is. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're discouraged, the solution is not to flex your spiritual muscles and dig deep inside yourself. It's to lean into Jesus. Remember where the source of your strength is. And also, remember your prize. Remember your prize. Notice what he says
again starting in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Soldier, athlete, farmer. When you hear those metaphors, you probably think of discipline. Paul's thinking of the Roman soldiers, the professional soldiers that devastated any army that came in their path. He's thinking of the Olympic athletes who have to train according to the rules. He's thinking of the farmer who's up at daybreak and is finally gets to bed at dusk. These are hard working, but don't miss his point. The emphasis here isn't on their discipline, it's on their reward. Did you catch it? Why does the farmer work hard? Because there's crops. He wants to receive his share of the crops. Why does the athlete compete according to the rules? Because there's a prize that he wants to win. Why does the soldier refrain from being entangled in the affairs of everyday life? Are you entangled in the affairs of everyday life? Why does the soldier refrain from being entangled in the affairs of everyday life? So that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So what's the prize? Wrong question. Who's the prize? Who's the prize? And Jesus is both the source of our strength and the reward that we're chasing. And Paul says, press on. Stay with it because he's worth it. Stay with it because he's worth it. Like, let's finish in chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. At the end of verse 8, Paul has said, join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And then Paul, as he's so prone to do in his letters, goes, oh, by the way, speaking of God, let's take a rabbit trail. Paul does this all the time. He's infuriating to try to outline because he's on a point. And then he says, oh, talking about Jesus, and off he's going. Paul, we're over here. But it's like it just flows up, springs up from within him. It gushes out of him. Let's talk about Jesus together. And here's what he says. He says, join with me, verse 8, in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Let me tell you about him. He's the one who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And that purpose and grace, verse 10, has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who did what? Who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Who abolished death. Friends, if he can abolish death, there's nothing he can't handle. There's nothing to fear. Death is the ultimate enemy, and Jesus killed death. And Paul says, that's the Savior we're pursuing. That's the prize. He says, verse 11, that's why I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. It says, for this reason, verse 12, for this reason, I suffer these things. For this reason, I wait Roman execution. For this reason, I keep my eyes on Jesus when my life's work is falling apart. For this reason, I hold on, I pass on, I press on when life seems to be falling apart, when life is not great. For this reason, I suffer these things and I'm not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What a Savior. What a Savior. So when life's hard, when it's discouraging, when it's not great, when you're tempted to park the car and let someone else take the battle for a while, remember where your source of strength comes from. He's in you. You have access to all of who God is because of Christ's gracious act on our behalf. And remember what your prize is. Stay with it because He's worth it. Because He's worth it. Friends, what's your temptation when life is not great? What's yours? Are you tempted to, do you find yourself drifting? Do you find yourself getting pushed away from the Word of God like that boat on a lake in the wind? One minute the shore's there and the next minute it's gone. And you go, how did I get here? Paul's response is, hold on. Feast in the Word of God. Even this week, set aside some extra time and just soak in God's Word. Let it wash over you. Let it refresh your heart. Let it nourish your soul. Because He's so good. Or maybe your temptation is to get defensive. You find yourself pulling in the troops, guarding the fort, picking fights and quarrels as Paul warns them against. And it's like you're just playing defense. And Paul says, no. You've got to play offense. You've got to pass it on. You've got to be intentionally entrusting the sound words to someone else. Or maybe your temptation is to give up, grow discouraged, grow weary. And Jesus says, press on. Stay with it because He's worth it. Jesus is worth it. Make Jesus your treasure, your prize, your reward. He's a good Savior. Let's pray. Oh, Father, words are so inadequate to capture your love for us and your kindness to us, your grace to us through Jesus. We're so thankful this morning that we don't labor in our own strength, that you didn't leave us without a helper. We're so thankful that you are our source and our strength, and you are our prize. And I pray today for each of us, I pray that you would clear our spiritual eyes to see you. Pray that we would see your beauty, we would see your goodness. And as we chase after you and draw near to you, that we would find ourselves powered to hold on, to pass on, to press on with the truths, with the sound words of Scripture. Lord, we know our world desperately needs this. Our world desperately needs the truths of the gospel. Would you equip us to be men and women who take that to a needy world? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you please rise with us as we, in worship, look at Christ for who He is, as we treasure Him here with us now.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold my own. Is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. The Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can see I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, till my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Amen. What a beautiful Savior. Hold on, pass on, press on, go in peace.